It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Thursday already edition of It's Your Turn. I tell you, the month is flying. This is August 10th. That's the weekend looming ahead there. Not quite there yet, but it's looming. Second weekend in August. And start of next week, we're going to be halfway through August. I mean, it's scary. Almost time for school to start, huh? Yeah. We're going to be talking about education in a variety of ways today, indirectly and sometimes directly. We have guests coming from Butler County Community College later on the program today. I got to tell you, I'm still getting over yesterday. I had such fun, and it was so informative yesterday, talking with Slippery Rock University student Alicia Federkyle about the typhoid epidemic that swept through Butler back in 1903-04. Who knew? I didn't know. And I had to drain the lake and scrub it out and fill it back. I mean, it was an amazing story. It was great to talk with Alicia. And also yesterday, we had Dr. Steve Ruskin with us, the historian of astronomy from out in the Rocky Mountains, where they're getting ready to take an up-close and personal look at the eclipse coming up. So he filled us in on that. Good stuff. Today on the first segment of the program, we have several guests with us to talk about NHS Allegheny Valley School. And I, listeners, will be learning along with you about, I've heard of NHS, Allegheny Valley School. I don't know a whole lot about it. They also have an event coming up that will be of interest. Let's meet our guests. First of all, though, Dorothy Gordon is with us. She is the Executive Director of Development and Communications. Did I get that title right there, Dorothy?
You sure did. Thank you.
Nice to have you here today.
Thank you.
Also with us is Vicki Doverspike. Vicki is the Program Director of the Slippery Rock Program Center, which may be one of the facilities of NHS Allegheny Valley School that some of you have seen or driven by. Vicki, nice to have you here.
Thank you, and thank you for having us.
And our final guest on this segment of the program is Marcia Shadle. She is a staffing specialist with NHS Allegheny Valley School. Marcia, nice to have you here as well.
Thank you.
I think we better start out by making sure that everybody just has a little bit of a grasp on who you are and what you do. So, Dorothy, I'll turn to you. Can you give us a thumbnail sketch, a little overview of just what NHS Allegheny Valley School is?
Well, thank you for the opportunity to be on your show today. NHS Allegheny Valley School provides a home and vital services for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Throughout Pennsylvania, we care for approximately 800 adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. They live in the community, in homes, or on campuses, and they receive their day services through our programs and services.
Mm-hmm. And I'd mentioned a minute or so ago that many of our listeners may have driven past one of your locations. That's on, what is that, Route 173 there between the Stone House and Slippery Rock, right?
Right, yes. We do have many homes right here in our communities, as well as up in Butler, we have the Slippery Rock Program Center,
mm-hmm,
located on Rebecca Lane.
And you have many, many group homes throughout the region.
We do. In western Pennsylvania, we have more than 50 community group homes. We have two campuses, and we have three program centers that care for about 500 individuals in western Pennsylvania alone.
Surprised already, listeners? Did you realize that there was this large of an organization? That's terrific. Can you tell us anything about the history of, first of all, NHS Allegheny Valley School? It's a bit of a mouthful, but that encompasses your overall organization, too.
Correct.
Right?
Allegheny Valley School in 2008 joined in with NHS, which provides three different types of services: intellectual and developmental disability services, of which Allegheny Valley School is a part of that service, education and autism programs, as well as behavioral health programs. Here in western Pennsylvania, we're the 33rd largest employer, and we are the fifth largest health and human services provider, in as recently published in the Book of Lists by the Pittsburgh Business Times.
Mm-hmm. So we hate to sound pecuniary here, but you're a significant part of the local economy, for
goodness sake. We certainly are, yes, and we're very proud of that.
You should be, yeah. Can you tell us how Allegheny Valley School was founded?
Certainly. Back in 1960, in the late 50s, orphanages were closing, and the last 10 children that were a part of the Pittsburgh Home for Babies were children with intellectual disabilities, and at the time were not considered adoptable children.
How tragic. Yeah. Fortunately, we've changed.
Fortunately, Patricia Hillman Miller, along with Bob Prince and Doug Hanna, founded Allegheny Valley School to take care of those children. And since that one location with 10 children, we are now in 125 programs and facilities throughout Pennsylvania and care for 850 adults.
We learn a little bit more about the late, great Bob Prince, some of the good work that he
did. Absolutely.
In addition to calling pirate games on radio and television. And you say this was about 1960?
1960 was our founding.
Mm-hmm. So you've grown significantly since then, huh?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Somebody at the radio station, I had a couple of people comment whenever I was promoting the fact that you were going to be visiting with us today, and there were people who had questions. Well, where are they anyway? What do they do? Somebody said that wasn't there some story that had to do with the terrible towel and the Pittsburgh Steelers that was connected to you? And I said, I don't know, but I know I'm going to have guests that can tell you today on the program.
Well, that person is absolutely correct. Back in 1996, Myron Cope turned over all the royalties for the Terrible Towels. So since that time, we have been the fortunate beneficiary of any Terrible Towel logoed item.
Hmm. Boy, what a treat that was.
A gift that keeps on giving. Tremendous legacy.
Another big name in Pittsburgh sports broadcasting. Been a great beneficiary for you. Yeah, Myron was the inventor, the creator, I guess, would be more accurate, of the Terrible Towel. And there are millions of them out there, and they've been sold. They're trademarked items, and there's a little tiny royalty from each one, and it goes to you folks, thanks to Myron.
It sure does. If you ever see a Terrible Towel item without the tag that says it benefits us, call me.
That's right. Throw it in the trash can. Don't wave that one. That's for sure. Let's talk a little bit here with the Vicki Doverspike. She is program director of the Slippery Rock Program Center. Now, this is obviously, we're learning, this is one little arm of the whole overall organization.
Correct. The program center in the Slippery Rock program began back in 1981 with group homes, and then they were actually being traveling and going to our Pittsburgh campuses for day programming. Mm-hmm. And our day program out of Slippery Rock has been in location since the 1990s.
Is it all in the same place?
They are not. Currently, the day program is located, as Dorothy had said, at Rebecca Lane, which is actually where we're holding the upcoming resource fair that we'll get to. But with the group homes, we have 15 group homes within the community that are either ICFMR or waiver funded through the government programs. And we also, at our day program, also serve people and individuals who are from other agencies or individuals who still live at home. So our program out of Slippery Rock is unique in that fashion, that we do have other day programs in the Coriopolis area that serve ABS individuals.
But the majority of your clients actually live there in a group
correct.
Home.
Correct. We have 71 individuals currently who live in our residential group homes within our community, from near Grove City Outlets to West Sunbury, and within the district in the township of Slippery Rock.
But your day people just travel to the center, the program center, just like day students who are going to college.
Correct. We're open Monday through Friday. Our staff are there anywhere from 6:30 in the morning until 3 to 5 o'clock at night with flex time. We offer a variety of programs, and our individuals come typically for a day program scheduled from 9 to 2 o'clock, where we offer a variety of services that relate back to our residential site, as well as helping our individuals who are still living with their families or other organizations, that we offer medical, psychological, or behavioral services, occupational therapy, physical therapy, motor development, adaptive equipment services, along with developmental, therapeutic, and vocational services, looking into communication, working on their food prep skills, laundry skills, recycling, also looking at computer and technology today, looking at computer and communication technology, as well as employment services that we offer for at least 30 individuals on site or out in the community currently.
Mm. So it's interesting, the start of the organization actually came with these individuals that you mentioned, finding a place, a wonderful place for these so-called unadoptable kids. But now your program focuses with adults who have intellectual or developmental disabilities.
Correct. Well, throughout the years, children have been staying in their homes longer and longer, and parents have been supported by their families, which is a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. There have been integration into schools for children with intellectual disabilities. But when they age, their parents may no longer be able to care for their daily needs, and so they seek out an organization such as Allegheny Valley School to help care for their adult children.
I was just reading about that in a somewhat different context, but analogous to what you're talking about here. There are programs in the public school system that can handle kids who have a certain disability of one sort or another, doesn't matter, special needs, whatever. And that's taken care of, thank goodness, by the public education system now. The crucial time for many is when they graduate, when they're out of the public schools, and then kind of adrift, you know.
And with that system, what happens is a lot of times we get the base service units, the supports coordinators who will contact day programs or try to find placement within organizations for those students to come mm-hmm. and continue to develop their educational skills, find places for them to participate. Currently, we get referrals out of Slippery Rock from a lot of the local school district from Butler. We have individuals who actually live in Butler on the towards Saxonburg who actually drive the whole way to Slippery Rock from our community program. And currently, we're in a transition of with our regulations changing and looking for community integration. The regulations are asking us to step up what we're currently doing, as our program already currently does offer, and we do fundraising out of our site to help provide opportunities out in the community for fun things and activities that we're doing with our individuals. Mm-hmm. But we're now being asked to support our individuals and take them out for more true community integrations. This is across the state and across the nation. It's just not an NHS-AVS program that we're working on, and trying to help them with their everyday lives and become more purposeful and have more functional meaning out in the community. So part of one of my little spiels today is to reach out to our local community within an hour of Slippery Rock. We're trying to find meaningful community integration to work with people, to do volunteer work, which actually we've already started that this month with Jennings Environmental mm-hmm. Program, mm-hmm. with Mission Barns for churches, helping with some churches and luncheons, with Rock Falls, helping with some volunteer work there to upgrade their services. And so we're reaching out to the community. If anyone has any information, has any ideas or suggestions, or has some volunteer work they would like assistance with, or some socialization skills with other groups or organizations, that we need to get out and get involved with people who are not of having disabilities, mm-hmm. Is what the focus is. So we're offering and asking for anybody, if they have ideas or suggestions, to please call and share that with us. They can contact Tim Geibel or Vicki Doverspike at the Slippery Rock Program Center at 724-794-1362.
I want to talk a little bit with Marcia Shadle here. Marcia is a staffing specialist. I'm assuming from your title, Marcia, that you work with making sure you have enough employees for all of these good projects and these good works that you're doing?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So are there enough qualified people to fill your job needs?
We're still searching. Mm-hmm. We're always searching. It's a difficult field to be in. If we're looking primarily for direct care workers, and that takes a special person, someone that wants to help the individuals and, you know, give them all the assistance that they do need. It's not definitely not a job that's for everyone, but it's something that if you have a heart to care for people, and then it's for you.
So direct care means self-explanatory. They're working with the individuals on a face-to-face basis?
Yeah, they're working with the individuals in their homes and or in the program center, where they're mm-hmm. providing them with all their daily living skills, anything they need in the home, feeding, assisting them in the restroom, putting them to bed. They may be taking them on community outings or doctor's appointments, assisting them in the program center. So pretty much they're the assistants that they're helping them with anything that they can't do.
Do they live there anytime?
The staff?
Yeah.
No, the staff, usually most of our staff have 8-hour schedules. We do offer part-time schedules as well, but primarily we're looking for full-time. We have daylight shifts available, afternoon turn, overnight, and we also offer double weekend shifts too, which is great for college students. Since we're right mm-hmm. near the university, we often get a lot of college students who want to work for us. either full-time over the summer or once school starts. I know a lot of them are coming back within the next few weeks looking for weekend work or part-time work.
So you have a community resource fair coming up in the not-too-distant future, right?
We do.
Yeah, who's going to tell me about that?
I will. Okay. we do. On August 19th at the Slippery Rock Program Center, located at 125 Rebecca Lane in Slippery Rock, just up from the Giant Eagle Plaza. And it is on August 19th from 9 a.m. till 2 p.m., rain or shine. This is our second resource fair that we've had at the Slippery Rock Program Center. Last year was our first year. Mm-hmm. And what we have done is opened our program up to a variety of resources that we can then share with anyone in our community and open up for people to learn what's going on around us, learn about our program, learn about employment options that we have. As one of our big focuses for this event is that we do have needs at our residential sites for employment, so we're opening that up, and we're actually doing it on the 19th. That's a big day for college move-in, so we're hoping that we can draw some employment from those students that are coming back for that day.
Big day for you then.
Yeah,
huh?
And so we will be open for tours of the facility while we're there of the program center, and we have managers on site that will be doing open interviews for the day.
Mm-hmm. I could see college students could very well use this as a supplement to their employment to help cover their cost of education, but in many cases this would be an excellent thing to have on your resume, would
Absolutely.
It not?
Absolutely. It's great experience for anyone in pursuing any education in the healthcare field at all, and just in general, in life in general. It's great experience to have.
Mm-hmm. Could someone who's interested actually get a preliminary interview if they come to this?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We will be doing on-site interviews from 9 to 2.
And that is the 19th, which is a week from this Saturday, right? This coming Saturday,
correct,
the 12th.
Correct.
Yeah. So not this Saturday, but the following one, mm-hmm, at the Slippery Rock Program Center, 125 Rebecca Lane. Where's Rebecca Lane, anyway? That I don't think I've ever been there or seen that street.
It's a little lane off of Route 173 heading, mm-hmm, towards Grove City. If you come up past the Giant Eagle Plaza and then past the True Value Hardware Store, we're right up on the left-hand side. There's a little lane that goes back around, and you won't miss our big signs. And the big tents that'll be there, along with many vendors. We currently have the Central Blood Bank that will be doing blood donations. We will also be providing blood screenings. Voice for Victims Outreach will be coming, Grove City Medical Center, OVR Service for Vocational Rehab will be also attending, Life Butler County, Family Pathways, the Lighthouse Foundation. We also have Disability Option Networks, the Slippery Rock Fire Hall, who we are very involved with, the Slippery Rock Library, Jennings Environmental Education Center, PA Volunteers, which is a community preparedness program, mm-hmm, who will be coming. United Way, the Alpha Omega Center, the Elite Chiropractic, along with having some vendors who will have some items there, along with our individuals that will be serving and having lunch for sale as a part of a fundraiser for our program that we will be having as well.
So all of these organizations will have information available. People, you can talk with them about their services and so on.
Correct.
And there's about 30 beautiful baskets for a raffle that are just tremendous that people will be able to participate in some great winnings that day.
This is all open to anyone, right?
Yeah. It's free. It's free with big capital bold letters. It's free to the public that we are welcoming anyone to come in from 9 to 2 o'clock that day to learn about our program, employment, and the other vendors who are coming and partnershipping with us that day.
Let me check with Marcia here a little bit more about job opportunities, potential employees. Obviously men and women, right?
Yes, men and women. There's no real specifications other than qualifications for direct care. It's our entry-level positions. You must be 18 years of age, and we do require a current valid driver's license.
Mm-hmm. So good opportunities for young adults. What about people who are a little bit older?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We welcome anyone. Again, it's a very rewarding job, and as long as you want to help others and you're willing to do so, it's a great place to work. Mm-hmm. And it has. I've been there for several years, done the direct care field, and it's very rewarding. Mm-hmm. You make great, long-lasting relationships with the clients.
So something to think about. And did I hear you say earlier that there are also part-time positions available here?
We do. We do have part-time available. I think the part-time shifts start off at 16 hours a week. But again, that's great for students or someone that just wants a second income, maybe. Mm-hmm. They need a second job.
Well, I knew just enough about NHS Allegheny Valley School to be dangerous. Actually, I knew just enough to be incorrect about most of my thinking in terms of where you were located. I had no idea of your size. What about your geographical footprint? How far does that extend, Dorothy?
So NHS Allegheny Valley School has programs and facilities down in southeastern Pennsylvania in Montgomery and Bucks and Philadelphia counties, in central Pennsylvania in Dauphin and Lebanon counties, and
which
in western
Pennsylvania. Harrisburg, right?
Right around Harrisburg,
yeah,
right? Yeah. And then here in western Pennsylvania, we're Mercer, Butler, Allegheny, and Beaver counties.
Wow.
NHS, our parent organization, is throughout Pennsylvania with all their services, as well as in seven other states.
Are you at least partially funded by government grants and so on?
Yes, our funding comes at Allegheny Valley School, our funding comes through Medicaid. And we do raise money. Vicki has a very active fundraising program, as well as we have it, our organization as a whole, grant writing and other appeals to help cover things that Medicaid doesn't cover, facility improvements, program expansions, and that sort of those sort of things.
Do potential clients have to be referred or recommended, or what's the process for getting involved in the program?
For the Slippery Rock Program Center, typically we have, you don't have to be referred or recommended. We get cold calls wanting to know if we have placements
or if we have waiting lists. A screening process.
Correct. That we usually meet with people and have people come for a tour to see if we meet their needs, as well as that we can meet that individual or student's needs coming into the program. Mm-hmm. And then there's obviously applications for that for the day program side. For residential, it's typically the same thing, making sure that they qualify under individuals with developmental disabilities to be placed in one of our residential locations. But all ABS individuals participate in some type of day program or have some type of employment opportunities out in the community to participate in.
It's scary to think back a couple of generations ago, maybe the generation before us, to think how these individuals were treated. I dare say maltreated. Pushed aside, shunted away, not talked about sometimes, in many cases institutionalized. Wow.
It's a big change.
Yeah.
57 years, a lot has changed, and for the better, and we're grateful that society has become more welcoming.
And wants to be more welcoming, I
Absolutely.
Think.
Absolutely.
I think it's pretty much a sea change, you know.
The individuals we serve have so much to offer and really make a difference in the world.
And this is a part of the community integration, too, is
opening, you mentioned
up,
that, yeah,
opening
a couple of
up to
ago,
the community,
yeah.
Because, like you said, it was a closed door. You know, you hid them at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's opening up where we have been doing that as an organization, but now it's global, that you don't need to do that. So the community integration is a key component, and having the community take a whole new light in understanding that it's an everyday life for everyone. Everybody should get that opportunity to have that life. And you mentioned people in support. I do, and you mentioned yesterday you had a student in from Slippery Rock University. We are partnership with them and their programs, who a great supporter for us has been Dr. Bob Arnhold and his wife Pam Arnhold out of the university, where we participate and started out many, many years ago with the swim fitness program and continue that program residentially and through day program. We participate there along with participating in therapeutic recreation with a different professor, music therapy, equestrian therapy, and best buddy programs. So we're working actually currently with Dr. Arnhold in reaching out for some more vocational and employment opportunities or for more community integration with the university. So it's been a great resource for us, along with those students who do look for employment opportunities as well.
You have to be careful, too, that we don't paint with a broad brush when we're talking about these individuals with either intellectual or developmental disabilities. You almost need I know in the public school system they have what they call IEPs, individual education plans. You almost need that approach, don't you, when you're dealing with the adults in your care?
Each individual is an individual, and our mission is to enrich lives by providing exceptional services through an individualized approach. Everybody is different, just like the rest of the population.
Mm-hmm. Enrich their lives. You know, there was a Bishop David Zubik, who's the Catholic bishop of the Pittsburgh Diocese. I think it's like six counties or something around southwestern Pennsylvania. He had written some papers early this year talking about how, from a church's standpoint, that there's an obligation not just to accept people with intellectual disabilities into the daily life of the church. It's not enough just to accept, it's welcome, you know.
Absolutely.
Appreciate what they can do and what they can bring, you know. It was an interesting philosophical, you know.
It's absolutely true.
Argument.
And it's a family. Like Marcia, I've worked for the company for 27 years and have been in the Slippery Rock area for 22 years. And one of the most rewarding things that I can do in my job is to spend time with the individuals, along with the staff who care for them on a daily basis. The individuals, they deserve those opportunities and those relationships. They have rights and responsibilities, just like you and I, and are part of our community. They have a valued role for us. It's very meaningful.
Yeah. And they deserve to have as rich a life as anybody else.
Absolutely.
All of us have enriched lives to different degrees. Nobody's the same, but everybody has a right to be the best they can, you know.
And they take pride in that, significant pride, a lot of times more so than we do.
Mm-hmm. I don't mean to dwell on the fact that two of the biggest names in sports broadcasting were instrumental in your history, but to know that Bob Prince, instrumental in your founding, Myron Cope, instrumental in helping you to stay afloat financially, that says a lot. You know, there's two guys that, I mean, this is something I didn't have to do. But I don't know. It makes me feel good to think back on the two of them. I met both of those guys at one time or another, and it just kind of warms your heart to know that they had a soft spot for Allegheny Valley School.
And we are most grateful for that.
Yeah. I want to go over the details here before our time runs out of the event that's coming up, not this Saturday, but a week from Saturday, August 19th. And Vicki, maybe you can run down the details of that. This is open to anyone. It's an interesting opportunity. You're calling it a community resource fair.
Correct. The community resource fair on Saturday, August 19th. From 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., rain or shine. The event is going to be held outdoors. We've got large circus tents, a variety of vendors from within our local communities between Butler, Slippery Rock area who are coming to participate in the event that'll have information to share with our public. So, it's a free event. Please come out that day, learn about Allegheny Valley School, our job opportunities, and also about our community that we live in.
And if you yourself, or you don't have anyone in your family or your circle who might be looking for employment in this field, in this line of work, I'm sure that Marcia Shada will be happy to hear from you at the Community Resource Fair.
Absolutely, or you can call me anytime at 412-443-9421, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Mm-hmm. Not all of you are based, you're based in different places, right? Dorothy, you're in
Correct.
Pittsburgh area?
I'm located in Coriopolis.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Top by the airport, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Close to it. Is that ever distracting with those planes coming in all the time?
After 15 years in
you
my
just,
office, I've
anymore.
Gotten used to it. But sometimes I can wave to the people who are flying in overhead.
Mm-hmm. I've talked to people who have lived in the path of, because there's a lot of medical helicopters these days, and they say, we don't even really notice it after a while. It's part of life, you know.
That's right.
Yeah. Me, I'm the type of guy, every time I hear a plane, I got to run out and look out the window or run out the door.
I do invite people to visit our brand new website that just launched. It's avs.nhsonline.org. Again, it's avs.nhsonline.org, where you can find the Slippery Rock resource fair information, as well as link to job opportunities, and learn more about our history, our connection with the Terrible Towel and the Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix, and our various services that are available.
I didn't know you were connected with the Vintage Grand Prix.
We are another Myron Cope founded entity.
No kidding.
He was involved in the starting of the Grand Prix, and we're one of the two beneficiaries of that great event.
The one that's in, was it, Chinle Park?
Chinle
Park.
Is
that what it is every year? They just had it like a month or so ago.
It was a perfect weekend.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Have we covered the bases here? Am I missing anything that we needed to mention to the folks or talk about or anything like that?
Please come get to know us. We'd be happy. We'd be delighted to get to know you. There is a comment section on our website, so if you have questions, you can certainly click on that box and send a comment through, or there's a donation button as well. Mm-hmm. You can learn about joining our team and also just learn about the organization. Again, it's avs.nhsonline.org.
Good. I'm glad you went over it again because I copied it down and I wanted to make sure that I had it correctly. Thanks so much for visiting with us. Dorothy Gordon is the Executive Director of Development and Communications. You need a big business card for that title, huh? Extra line or two there. Also, Vicki Doverspike. I'm just kidding, Dorothy.
No. I've got two lines.
Vicki Doverspike is Program Director at the Slippery Rock Program Center, which is on the road to Grove City there, just past the Giant Eagle. And Marcia Shadle is a Staffing Specialist with the NHS Allegheny Valley School. Thank you, ladies, for being here. Very informative. I know a lot more now about your operation. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for the opportunity for letting us share.
You do good work. You do great work.
Very grateful. Thank you.
More to come on It's Your Turn. Stick around. We'll take a break, and we'll continue on with the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR right after these words.
Hello, I'm Ken Molesky with Central Electric Cooperative. The following tips can help save energy dollars and get the most out of your cooling system during these dog days of summer. Set your thermostat at 77 degrees. Clean or replace your air conditioner filter monthly. Close east-facing curtains or blinds in the morning and west-facing in the evening. Weather strip doors and windows. Upgrade insulation and make sure your attic door closes tightly. And always listen for Central Electric's peak alerts for energy conservation. This saves everyone money by reducing the cost of power during peak times. This is Ken Molesky for Central Electric Cooperative, powering everyday life for 80 years. This institution is an equal opportunity provider and employer.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening, every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
Radio PA's Ask the Governor program serves as your direct line to Governor Tom Wolf. Connect with the governor now by going to pamatters.com and clicking the Ask the Governor link at the top of the page. Questions selected for Ask the Governor will be included in our special segment of the show dedicated to you. Have a question about transportation funding, the effects of illegal drug use on your community, the environment, or maybe taxes and the state budget? Listener and web viewer questions are selected by Radio PA for inclusion in the program. You can also submit a question by emailing directly to askthegov@pamatters.com. That's askthegov, G-O-V, at pamatters.com.
This is Governor Tom Wolf. We'll talk about the issues that affect you on Ask the Governor. You can submit your question or comment today by visiting pamatters.com.
The award-winning Ask the Governor program is an exclusive presentation of Radio PA and PAMatters.com.
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program today. We're going to be talking about the Butler County Community College Education Foundation on the next segment of the program today. And we have a couple of guests with us to discuss that, including the executive director of the Education Foundation, and that's Ruth Purcell. Ruth, good to see you.
Good to see you again, Dave.
I mentioned when I went out into the lobby to welcome Ruth into the studio here, it's been a while since you and I have seen each other face-to-face.
It has been a while. I think we were here last time I was here with Bob Heaton.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been about a year.
Yeah, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Also with us is Bill Foley. Bill is the interim coordinator of communications at BC3. Bill, good to see you again as well.
Good to see you too, Dave. Thank you.
Yeah. Are those headphones okay?
Oh, they're perfect.
Okay. They looked a little uncomfortable. I just want to make sure that they were okay for you. So we better start out by making sure that everyone understands just what the Butler County Community College Education Foundation is. I'm sure some of our listeners are familiar with it, but maybe, Ruth, you can give us a little bit of an overview.
Sure, my pleasure. Foundation, we're a separate 501c3 charitable corporation, and we exist for the sole purpose of benefiting BC3. We have a 20-member board right now. Carol Lachinsky is the board chair. Tony Shakley is our vice chair. And Dr. Tony Ballot is the treasurer. And Amy Byler, who I think a lot of people know in the community, is our secretary. So about 20 people who have been involved in the community who are believe in BC3 and want to help us raise some private funds to support the college.
This is, I don't know how long education foundations have been around. I've really started to hear about them in the last 15, 20 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
There are several school districts that I know
right.
of here in the area who have created a foundation, kind of a
right.
private public arm.
Right.
And I know of at least one, as probably many, of the four-year universities who create. I think I don't know whether it was Cal or somebody else, but they had a foundation that actually constructed new residence halls.
Sure.
Which I didn't quite understand how that worked at the time, but
it's more complicated than the average person would probably be the least bit interested in. But I think and Slippery Rock did that too, Dave.
Oh, okay.
When I used to work at the Rock, and reason for a foundation with a public institution is it gives donors the opportunity to make a gift to make the gift and to receive the charitable tax credit. That's why I always mention we're a 501c3.
Mm-hmm.
Same with other public institutions. The other thing it gives the foundation the ability to do is, for instance, we have an endowment that we use to support our scholarships. And being a private organization, we have certain investment opportunities that a public institution can't use. So there's an advantage there. So you'll see, and I know, and that's the same reason the school districts do it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, it is important that they can write off their charitable gifts on their, tax returns, and being a separate corporation, 501c3 enables that.
I didn't think about the additional investment opportunities, though. As soon as you started talking
sure.
about that, I said, well, yeah, a state-owned university, for example, would be restricted in certain ways about
correct.
What they could do with
correct.
State funds. And as an independent foundation, you could take advantage of maybe,
very prudent, I have to say, and especially if our treasurer and board members are listening, or, we are very prudently managed, but we are able to invest, and we do get mm-hmm. assistance with that through our investment manager, which is currently one of the local banks, and also we have an investment policy that the board approves, an investment and a finance committee, but it does give us, we can get a little higher return by being in the markets that your public institutions can't do.
Mm-hmm. So. And that way,
and it helps. It's helping the last month, few months or so.
Sure.
I hope it stays.
Donations from donors are able to grow.
Correct.
You're able to invest the donations.
Correct. Yeah. And that's real important, especially in scholarships, because, as tuition with every institution increases some, we're able to grow the endowment portion and give out more money as mm-hmm. part of a donor-designated endowment. So,
I'm thinking that most everybody would understand the concept of an endowed scholarship fund, but I'll make sure that I understand it.
Okay.
Simply, the scholarship money comes from the interest that's earned on the
correct.
The principal, right?
Exactly.
Which remains
yield,
untouched.
Correct. If a person gives us a gift, and we are so fortunate we have over 75 named scholarships, which means somebody, in order to honor someone else or as a memorial, or just because, again, they want to help local students or students at the college, will come to the college for an endowment. We do ask that the gift be $10,000 because that is that will spin off anywhere between 4 and 5%, which, again, is a decision made by our board, how much we'll pay out. And it exists forever. Again, it's able to grow with the needs of the college. So very helpful to our students. We just finished that process.
An education foundation, certainly one that's been as active and as successful as the Education Foundation at Butler County Community College, is always doing things, holding fundraisers. You had your annual golf outing recently, right?
We did last Friday, and Farmers Bank is our premier sponsor. We had a wonderful event, got a little rain, but it held off until about the 14th, 15th hole. And again, you know, we just have so many people who come out and sponsor and golf with us. We had about 90 golfers. We don't have the final. This is an unaudited amount, but we are probably looking at raising for the college about $55,000. That's after expenses, but again, we have that isn't a final number. So it really is an important part of what we do as a foundation. It is a scramble, but it's competitive. Our winners, I think a lot of people will know in the community, Ben Holland, county treasurer, played on a team that came in first place. Second place was Farmers National Bank, and you have to get a shout out to Bob Vernick and Rob Faust, who played with President Nick Neupower, and also our CFO, Jim Hrabowski. So we get, we have a lot of corporate people who sponsor and bring a team in, but again, it's very important because that is a portion of the unrestricted money, not donor designated, that we raise for the foundation.
Mm-hmm. And where does that money go? Where are possibilities for that money to go?
Well, we do use some of that money to support scholarships. However, we also use it to, there are a number of initiatives that over the past several years we've been able to support, the foundation has supported for the college. Some things we do, we were able to new equipment for our Fab Lab, which is a kind of makerspace at the college. And we've put some money into our nursing labs. A lot of these things, as a college tries to contain costs and keep tuition affordable, they'll ask the foundation. And sometimes it's something unexpected, Dave, that a donor hasn't stepped up for, that hasn't been put in our budget. One thing I just signed a check for, we have an honorary society, Phi Theta Kappa, and they received a national award, and they wanted to take some of the students out. Well, they didn't have the budget for us, so they came to the foundation. What a pleasure to help these accomplished students show off their work at a national conference and receive an award. So those are some of the types of things. In addition to, we do use this unrestricted money to support scholarships where we don't have a donor designation. And our largest one of that type of scholarship is what we call the President's Scholarship. And that is awarded to students. It's only Butler County residents who graduate in the top 10% of their high school class. This year, we have 26 students who are going to receive that scholarship. Letters just went out the past week. We get some wonderful calls into our office, students and their parents, because it does pay for the full tuition of that student. They still need to pay some of the fees. And as long as they keep their grade point up, that scholarship is renewable. So in essence, top 10% of a Butler County public high school, you come to the college essentially almost cost-free. Those students do participate in an enrichment opportunity called the Scholars Program. And I will say this year, we almost doubled that number. Last year, we had 12 students in the President's Scholars. This year, we have 26. So again, that unrestricted money is critical to letting us fund that program.
Phi Theta Kappa is an honorary society.
It is.
That was kind of unfamiliar turf when I was in undergraduate squad at that time.
Dave, I don't want to hurt your feelings by saying it wasn't started then, but maybe it's one of those new honoraries that would have had you had it been available at the time you were in school.
I wasn't at the bottom. I made the honor roll a few times, but I certainly wasn't, what I would call a top scholar at that stage in my life. Is that what Phi Theta Kappa
is?
It is,
and that's what these students who are coming and receiving scholarships, you know, it is a misconception. You know, our kids went to Butler schools, and, you know, I know sometimes, you know, people talk about, I better not say it, or Nick, my boss, will be very upset, but, you know, they don't recognize the quality of the education that you get at BC3. It is not an extension of high school. It is, you know, our faculty, the program we offer. One of the things we're doing now is we have, you can get a four-year degree at BC3 because the four-year institutions are coming to us and saying, you have quality faculty, you have good students. How about if we let them take a significant amount of their coursework at BC3 and then either some transfer, but a lot of them, we have seven programs now where you can stay at our Butler campus, get your four-year degree from Pitt, from Carlow, from Chatham. So again, our quality, and you know, with the Honorary Society, President Scholarships, and these colleges that are coming to us and saying, we want your students. They are top-notch students.
We'll talk a bit more about the work of the foundation, the Education Foundation at Butler County Community College. I'm pleased to have Ruth Purcell, the Executive Director, with us here today. This is the time of the year, though, Bill Foley, that the campus really gets ready to hum. Not that you've been shut down by any means over the summer. I know there are a lot of condensed courses and short-term courses that are held over the summertime, but it's almost time to roll out the fall semester, right? I don't know when the exact date is, but it's got to be pretty close.
School's 28th.
They start earlier than they used to,
isn't
don't they?
That the truth? Yeah, it used to be after Labor Day.
Yeah, and I can remember an undergraduate school actually starting quite a bit after Labor Day a couple of times, but now everybody starts in August.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. This will be my first fall at BC3, and so I'm looking forward to it. I think there's an excitement in the air as we move forward to the students arriving on campus for August 28th.
I understand there's a kind of like a kickoff event coming up. The Pittsburgh Philharmonic is going to be on campus. Anybody know about that?
Well, I do, and what a fun time this should be. This is before our students get back, although it's something that is open to the general public. Would love to see some of our students there. As you know, we have a cultural program and a number of performances throughout the year in the Suck Up Theater. This is really our kickoff event. So it kind of harkens back to, you might recall these, Dave, where we used to have our summer concert series with free concerts down at the college. Mm-hmm. We used that forum area before we had the theater built. Anyhow, we're kind of continuing that theme because Larry Stock, our theater director, cultural center director, has convinced me that we have to serve free Grater's ice cream. And so we will have a free concert, Pittsburgh Philharmonic. It's a full concert. They have the full orchestra. It'll be about a 45-minute program. We also have recently reopened our Mary Phillips Art Gallery, which is adjacent to the Suck Up Theater area. And we have a regional artist, Doreen Curry from La Trobe, coming in, and she'll be exhibiting her works. They're also for sale. Anything that she sells, 30%, she will give to the foundation. She has some lovely pieces. They're pretty realistic. She does a lot of Western Pennsylvania scenes, some beach scenes for those of us who haven't been able to get to the beach this summer, and also a lot of floral arrangements, but they're bright colors, so, you know, it'll just be a fun day. Starts at 2 o'clock. It is free, but and Larry said, you know, if you put a plug in for this, Ruth, tell people to come early because it is first come, first serve. And our theater only seats 400. So.
I've seen some of the work of Doreen Kerr. She's an oil painter.
She is. She's
very, very, very talented, very good stuff.
Oh, it's beautiful. I think I'm going to be one of the purchasers. So, this event could be costly to me personally, but it's a great way. And it's a way we say to the community, you're welcome at the college. We are the community's college, and we are emphasizing that. So, again, first come, first serve. I'd say get there at 1:30, 1:45 at the latest. Sunday.
Yeah, that's this Sunday, August 13th.
That's right.
I see August 13th, but it doesn't register right away that it's this Sunday because the month is flying
Where
past me.
Where has the summer gone? Absolutely.
Yeah. The Mary Halton Phillips Art Gallery, if you've never been there, folks, I'll tell you when I like to visit is if I'm going to a show at the Suckup Theater at intermission.
Right.
Like to stretch your legs a little bit. I usually walk over. It's right next to it there. You know, don't go outside.
Exactly.
It's just off the lobby of the Suckup Theater, and you can check it out during intermission. That's what I usually do.
Good.
Mary Halton Phillips Gallery. So that's where you can see the exhibit of oil paintings by Doreen Curry. And enjoy your music and your ice cream this Sunday. We need to take a break. We'll do just that, and we'll return to talk more with our guests here on It's Your Turn on WISR in just a moment. One of our sponsors on the program today is the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. They are continuing with their collection of excess garden produce, and this is the time of the year, folks. Now we're into almost mid-August. This is when a lot of stuff comes on. Sometimes pretty rapidly. Sometimes you've got tomatoes coming out of your eyeballs all of a sudden, right? If you have excess, consider donating, whether it's tomatoes or peppers or corn, whatever, to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, a food cupboard. And they make it very easy to donate. They have volunteers to take your donations of fresh vegetables from your garden every Saturday morning from 8 a.m. until noon at St. Michael the Archangel Parish Hall, which is on Center Avenue on Butler's south side. It's right behind St. Michael the Archangel Church. So, I know, they don't want all your stuff, obviously. You raise your garden produce for yourself and your family and maybe your neighbors and maybe Aunt Ethel and Uncle Fred, but sometimes there's still more left over. So make sure that it doesn't go to waste. It's collected by the volunteers of St. Vincent de Paul Saturday mornings, and it's distributed to the needy families Monday. Through the food bank, and what a treat it is for them to get fresh garden produce, too. Saturday mornings, 8 a.m. until noon, and they'll be there every Saturday through the end of the harvest season. The Society of St. Vincent de Paul in Butler, we stand the tallest when we stoop to help others. We'll be right back.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us. We're going your way, getting there stops here. Just hop the bus. Easy and economical, just hop the bus. No car, no problem, the bus will get you there. Cause that's what we do. Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.
Welcome back, friends. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program today. Coming up tomorrow's program, I'm going to be off tomorrow. Tyler Friel, my colleague, is going to be sitting in. I think, I haven't seen his full guest list. I think he's got Bill Hillgrove tomorrow. Is that right? And you will hear Bill Hillgrove tomorrow night here on WISR because that's the first preseason game for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who will be in northern New Jersey to play the New York Football Giants tomorrow night. And I'm pleased to announce that once again, WISR radio will be a part of the Steeler Football Radio Network, so you'll hear all the games, preseason and regular season, right here on WISR with Bill Hillgrove, once again calling the live play-by-play. I don't know how many years Bill Hillgrove has been doing Steeler football, but it's a long, long time.
Yeah, a long time.
Yeah, a long time. He is Steeler football, no question. But anyway, Tyler will be chatting with Bill Hillgrove, among other guests, on tomorrow's program. We're chatting right now with Bill Foley. He's the Interim Coordinator of Communications at Butler County Community College. And also Ruth Purcell is here, the Executive Director of the Education Foundation at BC3. I want to talk a little bit about, I think it's called Tax Investment Credit, Tax Improvement. What's the name of that tax credit program, Ruth?
It is known as EITC, the initials, and that gets confused with some other programs, but this is the Educational Improvement Tax Credit Program. And it is a state of Pennsylvania Commonwealth program, and companies, if once they apply for apply to the Department of DCNR, or Community Development, DCED, They can, a portion of their tax payment, they can decide to designate to an educational improvement or a scholarship organization. We are an educational improvement organization, the Butler Educational Foundation, and so we get a lot of support from this program, anywhere from maybe $70,000 to $100,000 a year. Again, these are local companies, names you all know, NextEar Bank, again, Farmers Bank, Beglier, Buick, Mazda, GMC. I hate to, you know, leave anybody out, Meyer Dussel, Buncher Corporation made a gift to us this year. So these are all, again, and they get the tax credit, and we use the funds. They have to be used for a K-12 program. Mm-hmm. So what does a college do K-12? We have a wonderful college within the high school program, and we use money from the educational tax credit program to fund that. And that program is students in local high schools will take courses at their school taught by credentialed and accredited faculty members, some from the college, some of the high school instructors will be trained, and they can receive college credit for it. So the great thing about this, Dave, is, you know, you can get up to maybe 15 credits, which is basically a semester in college while you're still in high school. And it saves a considerable amount of money because we offer these courses for, I don't have the exact number, Bill, I think it's under $400. I know that for a fact for our college within the high school programs. But in addition to giving these students a leg up before they go to college, you know, they're going to learn study habits, they're going to learn what's expected at a college level course, and again, to reiterate the cost savings. So
they start college with these credits already in the bank?
Absolutely. So mm-hmm. You have a student coming to college who might, as I say, can have upward to a semester of work completed. So, you know, in today's college environment, when everybody's looking at costs, you know, it really is a financial savings. But again, it just gets students, you know, that coming to college, you mentioned, you know, we're starting in 2 weeks. You know, you look at some of those kids and they just look like they don't know where they are, mm-hmm. that they are scared to death. And it is, you know, by about 6 weeks later, you know, they're cool and they, you know their way around. But it is a huge transition. And I think taking some of these courses early, and of course we do a number of other things to bring students to campus before their first day of classes, just gives them a little preparation, you know, eases that change for them.
I realize you don't direct this program and you may not have answers to all the questions I ask, but it's a fascinating program for me. Are there a number of high schools in this area who participate?
There are. We've got probably about 20, 21, and this is regional too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I know locally, Butler area high school participates, Mars participates. I'm looking to Bill to see what I might be missing, but
I was speaking with some, and I think it was Armstrong County, possibly.
And Armstrong, we have a number of programs up in the Hermitage area in mm-hmm. Lawrence County. So again, this is regional, but in terms of students who take the courses, we have about 800 students.
Oh my!
I had no idea.
Oh
yeah, it is. Oh. I mean, and it's increasing. And I will say, other colleges do this. I think we are probably, you know, local, and of course we're the best, but students, those courses will transfer into Butler Community College, but most of the courses will transfer to other four-year institutions. So, again, if your high school doesn't offer it, you know, you have the guidance counselor, the principal, call to the college. Aaron Chaffee is the director of that program, and I know we are constantly setting up courses, and the courses are things like psychology, communications, you know, it's not trigonometry or advanced engineering. Mm-hmm. There's some of these basic courses that students normally will get out of the way their freshman year.
Courses that most colleges and universities would require that
exactly.
everyone takes, whatever their major area of study is. There's a certain level of basic courses that everybody takes.
Yeah. Exactly.
And you're absolutely right. That's the phrase. Get them out of the way so you can concentrate on your major.
Exactly. Exactly. So, we grow that program, and it is something that what the EITC money does is there's a registration cost. So we cover all of that. We want to make it as easy as possible for the students, for any student to access those programs in the high school.
Well, that's something that if you're not familiar with, if you have students in the family that you think could be able to handle this, you might want to look into it.
I think so. Call the college, ask to talk to Erin. She can certainly, and I believe the list is most likely on our website. I'm kind of looking to Bill to verify that it's on the website. But if not, call the college, and if you can't get Erin, call the foundation office, and we'll direct you, because I think it's a real benefit.
And some of the courses are at the high school, and there are some.
I remember speaking with some students last year, and I forgive me, I don't remember what high school it was, but there was about 20 of them who were taking a psychology class in the library, and they were getting their first exposure to what would be demanded of them academically at college, and then they loved it. So it is very popular, and it's held before school, after school, or during school, maybe during a mutual time in which study halls or whatever the case may be, when other students are in study halls. And so it's very, very popular.
Mm-hmm. Do they ever get a chance to visit the campus for a class? Something?
You know what? They could. I think some of the classes do. And as I say, we do have through our admissions office a lot of programs where we do bring students on campus, including I was just in a meeting with our admissions director recently, and we are starting to bring students in 5th, 6th, 7th grade, because believe it or not, all the research is finding that students begin to not make the decision as to where they're going to go, but the tracking for are you going to be, the caliber of student who wants to pursue a higher degree begins earlier and earlier. So, so we will have, we currently have a lot of young students there because we're doing our kids on campus program. So, now you're seeing kindergarten kids, but, when the school year starts, we'll actually bring some, I think they're from Knock Middle School or Knock Elementary, who are coming to see what's college like. Hmm. How old, 10, 11 when you're in the fifth grade? So, it's all starting earlier.
I can see the benefits of this. Obviously, there are some financial benefits for this program to be able to start college and already have X number of credits in the bank. But I don't know. I think the most important thing would be a certain type of student would be able to do this, because they're going to have to be able to fit these college within the high school courses in during a study hall or a break period when ordinarily they would be just lollygagging or not doing anything. So it takes a certain amount of discipline to do this successfully, but that's great training for when you get into college, because suddenly you're on your own.
Exactly.
And sometimes it takes students, I'm pointing at myself, a year or two to realize, I've got to buckle down here, I'm my own boss now, but I better get to it. So I think that would be very valuable.
It is, and just one other thing on that, it is by teacher recommendation, and there is a certain grade point that students are expected to have before they're enrolled, because we want students to be successful. And a lot of the high schools will give the student high school credit and college credit. So, dual credit for the same course. So, again, it is. My kids didn't tell me about it when they were in high school. So, parents, beware and call your guidance counselor to see if you have it.
We're talking about some of the programs that are funded through the Educational Improvement Tax Credit that operates through the BC3 Educational Foundation. Obviously, you can get more details by calling about that, but there's something called Entrepreneur Academy in Butler and Mercer counties. I never even heard of that before, Ruth. Do you know what that is?
We're going to have to bring you down on campus, Dave. I got to tell you, and give you the whole spiel. This is, again, it's a high school program designed for students who think they have an entrepreneurial bent. So it begins in the junior year, and they take some of those core courses that we talked about, your psychology, college writing, communications, but they also get some hands-on business experience. They might do a project I don't know if local businesses are connected because, again, this is primarily a Butler High School, and I'd be happy to get more information. But I think before I give misinformation, I better stop there. But it is available at Butler. Butler High, and we also do it up in Mercer County.
These would be students who are thinking something about a business career, maybe.
You know what? I've met some of those students, and for instance, the young man I met, his father had a business, and he was thinking when he got out of high school he might go and, you know, help his dad in the business. So he had more of an entrepreneurial bent. So, again, you know, check with guidance counselors at Butler High for this program and what the requirements are. But again, you get those college within the high school credits for those core courses.
And, folks, from what the literature I have here, there are a total of 31 classes that are available. So this is not just
right.
English and Speech 101. 38 classes, everything from American national government to world history to sociology. You were talking about that, Bill, a couple of minutes ago. There were some students taking that, and they loved it.
Yeah, they were taking psychology, but yeah, this is in the college within the high school. They're American national government, principles of sociology, 20th century world history. So again, they're getting, you know, a lot of the liberal arts courses that normally that they might be taking if they were actually on campus in their first semester. They're taking them before school, during school, or after school, and getting that first blush of college and what's required of them. As you were saying before, you know, you have to be disciplined, and they're getting that first taste of that.
And they could even play a little bit in the stock market if they wanted to.
Well, that's the other program that gets funded through EITC, and Professor David Huseman runs a program called – it's actually economic education, but the portion that's funded through this EITC program is called the stock market game. I got to tell you, some of these kids, they have a big luncheon at the end of the program. We have probably about 50 different, again, and some of these are grade schools, and they have they work with Professor Huseman, and it's kind of a packaged program. Students get a certain amount of money. I believe it's $100,000 to invest in play money, and they make their stock selections, and they meet as a group, and they discuss this through either a semester or a year. Then at the end of the year, there are the teams that have produced the most, who have been the most successful investors, and they get together. We have a luncheon for them at the college, and it is, again, really, not only are they learning about the market, free enterprise, basic capitalism, but they're also learning how to work in teams. Mm-hmm. And these kids are great, and you listen to what they pick. And I've actually had some personal tips, and I think, as you know, I used to be in that business. But, you know, what an education for them. They look at things that they use. So they were some of the earliest investors in Apple. You know, before we knew about things like Apple, some of the video game techniques, you know, they research companies that produce these video games and they invest in them. It is just great to see they, and then, of course, they have to make a presentation, so they develop presentation skills. But again, our stock market game has been going on, well, since I've worked at the, probably about, I would say at least 10, 15 years. Now it's funded partially by the CITC money because there is a cost for materials that are used and that sort of thing. And so, again, all these great things that weren't available when I was in school.
And the students, they just love the stock market game. I've kind of worked with the game for probably 15 years, and I know I've talked to so many different instructors and students themselves, and, you know, we're talking about study halls. The first thing they do when they go to the study halls, they check their cell phone to see how the stock is doing.
Oh, yeah. They're like day traders because, exactly. You know, really they're not the invest long term because they're in this for, you know, 4 months to a school year. But it's just wonderful to see them, you know, become excited about
and financial
something.
Literacy. I mean, it shows them how important it is to, you know, not to make wise decisions with your money and the value of. And you know, so many of them. It was funny. I again have been speaking to them for about 15 years. You know, at 12, 13, 14 years old, I asked, what are you going to do with the money you make in your summer job? And it's like, I'm going to save it, and then ultimately I'm going to invest it. So they're actually at that age. I was spending my grass-cutting money
exactly.
And my dog-walking money. They're saving it. They're learning early on. And these skills are being taught to students as young as third grade. I don't
right.
You know. It's amazing that they're actually being able to pick up and really see how the things that happen in the world affect, you know, when news events and how the interplay between news events and finances and investment. And that's a very good skill to have at a younger age than maybe we had when we were younger.
To be able to get financial literacy while you're using Monopoly money. I mean, that's
the greatest thing in the world. That was my extent of financial knowledge.
That's a great thing. You know, if it doesn't work, okay. I learned a little bit about how it doesn't work anyway. The other thing that strikes me is, Bill, as you said, a little bit different than whenever we were that age. We would have to check either the television stock market show with the Lewis Rukeyser way back when, or the morning paper, you know, with the stock market thing. We couldn't just run to the phone and check it out the first time we had a study hall.
Right. And again, that goes back to what the teachers would tell me, what the students would tell me, is they would actually, even after school, they would call each other to see how their stocks were doing and, you know, discuss their strategy, what they were going to buy or sell the next day. And, you know, I was involved with a number of them for a very long time. And we actually had a 15-week game that we sponsored, and we had a competition, and we published the results in the newspaper, and we would publish the top 10 teams. I think there were about 800 teams, and we had it divided into a high school division and a middle school division. And you know, the bottom line is that they saw it not only as a competition, but actually the thing that was more important was the fact that they were learning about the value of a dollar and what a dollar can do for you. I remember when I was about 18 years old, I had a friend who was the first person I ever knew who was my age who was investing in the stock market, and how I wish I would have followed his lead back at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was way ahead of us, and so are these students. They're going to be way ahead of
sometimes these general. Students even beat the S&P.
Absolutely.
Yes, I know.
They, as I said, I've taken some personal tips, and I'm looking through. I've got the program book with me from the last luncheon, and in Butler High, here are some of the winning schools. Freeport Senior High, Knock Middle School, Butler Area Intermediate School, and those were the winning teams from our Butler County schools that participated. So,
well, if you're talking high-tech, publicly traded social media companies, these are the kids that know.
Oh, absolutely. Way before it hits the, you know, and even some of the trendy things, you know, clothing and that sort of thing, you know, Uber and, you know, all those things that are, you know, kind of trickle down, or I guess trickle up as to parents. But the EITC program, and again, our bankers and the businesses love that because they see students at a very young age learning about, again, our American system.
This is one of the things that's funded through the Educational Improvement Tax Credit, and there are several companies here in the area who help to fund this through this program each year. You can find out about it by contacting the Educational Foundation at BC3. There's a pretty visible, we need to take a break here, but there's a pretty visible factor, too, to the work of the Education Foundation, and those are building projects. People can, this is bricks and mortar, people can see it. And we've had some nice projects on the BC3 campus recently. We'll talk about those when we come back in just a moment or so. One of our sponsors on the program today is Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. They're just off Newcastle Road in the Shockey Mini Stores, right behind the two restaurants there, King's and Villa Grande, right behind them. So what do they do at Going Postal Butler? They package your items for shipping. Mm-hmm. So convenient, whether you have one item or 15. You know what a bag that is, right? I'm going to get the right wrapping paper, and then do I have the tape that meets the postal regulations and the mailing labels and yada, yada, yada. They can take care of all that for you and do the shipping, no matter how you want to ship it. FedEx, UPS, U.S. Postal Service, no problem. Gone Postal Butler can do the job for you. They also offer a variety of other services, copying, scanning, faxing, mailbox rentals, pick up a greeting card or two, even buy a lottery ticket. Oh, and there's an official notary there, too, in case you need that. It's your friendly neighborhood shipping center, Gone Postal Butler. Call them to find out more about their services, how they can help you. Phone number is 724-841-0044. That's 724-841-0044. 841-841-0044. 140 Shockey Lane in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex, right behind Kings and Villa Grande there, just off Newcastle Road. Going postal, Butler. We will be back to talk more with our guests coming up right after this.
If you're tired of being fed to death by the big banks, now is a great time to join the Butler Armco Employees Credit Union. With more free services like checking, online banking, mobile banking, and check deposits by phone, along with the best rates around on autos, home equity loans, and mortgages, you'll quickly see why over 26,000 members have chosen BAECU for their banking needs. It's never been easier to join, so stop in or join online at BAECU.com. You and your wallet will be happy you did. BAECU is federally insured by NCUA and is an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back, folks. We're learning about the Educational Foundation at Butler County Community College, what it is and what it does. And as I said before the break, one of the more visible results of donations to the Education Foundation are building projects on campus. The biggest one recently, biggest one ever, I guess, really, when you look at it, is the new Heaton Family Learning Commons, which opened... Ruth Purcell was just about a year ago, wasn't it? It was late summer of last year.
I cannot believe it. We were at this time last year planning our grand opening ceremony, and to think that it's been a year, I still am wowed when I walk into that building. I mean, and one of the first things you see, of course, thanks to the generosity of Mr. Heaton, but also the Hunter family, we have a nice donor recognition wall. And when I bring people through the building, they look at that wall and they know people, because these are Butler people who gave money through the course of our Pioneer Proud campaign to support this facility. And it's, I mean, it has honestly changed not only the look of campus, but what students do. You know, President Neupower always says he used to see, and we all did, students between classes, you know, they had a couple hours, they would sit in their car, they might go to the cafe. But now they're in the Heaton Family Learning Commons. We have all sorts of areas for students to lounge and study, but it's, and it's a gathering spot too. And always crowded. I've taken, you know, wanted to bring people through who were contributors to the project and say, we'll go over. There's a cafe in there, the Logan Cafe. We'll get a cup of coffee and sit down and chat. Well, I have gone in even 8:30 in the morning, and it's been full. We haven't found a place to sit, which is a good thing. But I think it just shows, you know, the use of this beautiful facility. We've had community groups in who can rent space in there. Faculty even say they notice, again, it's anecdotal, but they notice that students are coming to class, because if they have that, you know, leg between their classes, instead of going home and saying, oh, I'm not going to go back, there is just a real inviting place for them to stay. So it's just been really a transformational building on the college.
And great thanks to an extremely generous donation, $1 million.
Exactly.
From Robert R. Heaton, Bob Heaton. Bill Foley, you probably were not on campus with the original library, the Beck Library.
No, but I've heard the stories.
Yeah, it was
horse carpeting and.
It was a fine facility for its day. But keep in mind, Butler County Community College is now what 53 years old,
yeah.
And the 50th anniversary was a couple of years back. I don't remember exactly when, and that was the original library, and. It was designed the way libraries were back then. That was still a place where, you know, they had quiet signs all over the place, and those study corrals back in the stacks where you were afraid to go. And that's the way it was. There certainly was no cafe. You didn't go to the library to get a cup of coffee back
in those
days.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, right now this is it's avant-garde. It's high-tech. The color scheme is amazing. There's the huge windows in the front of the library that look out across campus. I don't think you could have envisioned
a welcoming place.
It's absolutely welcoming. Yeah.
It is, and we and we welcome the community to the Heaton. Also, we've got a walking trail again that was partially privately funded. And, you know, walk the trail. It's a mile around. And then come in, have a cup of coffee, iced coffee, pick up a periodical, or, you know, just take some time off, enjoy, you know, looking out the windows, seeing, it is always a pleasure to see students. And you know, the college is a pretty nice, serene campus. So, so we invite people to come up and use the trail, use the Heaton. But yeah.
That was a bequest, I believe, from the estate of Bertram Schaefer, if I remember correctly.
What a great memory. Yeah. You are absolutely right. It was.
These are.
Who was our first dean at BC3. So again, we have a lot of, the interesting thing or one of the rewarding things in my job is I am working with people who either they're parents or they've been involved with the college since its formation in some way or other. And I mean, that is just really gratifying. You know, Bob Heaton tells a story. He didn't think we needed a community college back in the day, 65, when people were, talking about building a college. Now he's one of our biggest contributors and advocate. He's on campus frequently.
There's another new building project. As I said, these are very visible results of donations to the BC3 Education Foundation, and that's the Amy Wise Children's Creative Learning Center. Again, a marvelously generous donation, a $1 million donation from the John L. Wise family. I don't know, is this project, because I haven't been on campus recently, is this nearing completion, Ruth Purcell, do you know?
It's about, completion date is the first of the year, so first of 18, because we have students, you know, that's where our child care center is. Mm-hmm. We have 35 young, 3-year-olds to 5-year-olds who have had to be moved, so we want to get them back in there. The last time I saw it, last week, they were putting the roofing on it. So yeah, it is coming along. And again, that gift goes back to one of the founders. John Wise Sr. was one of the founders of the college, worked very closely to raise the initial money. And it was his son who we talked to, John Lang Wise, John Wise III, who talked with his relatives and said they wanted to make a gift in honor of his sister, Amy. So we cannot wait. Again, it goes back to the founding of the college, you know, that kind of continuity. It's maybe it's a Butler thing, but it's certainly something that I think a lot of people who are part of the college, you know, just makes you feel real good.
Updates also to, and this is very important to BC3, the metrology lab. It's not meteorology lab. That's something else. This is metrology, which is far different from meteorology. BC3 has one of the very few metrology programs around. We had several years ago, there were I don't know, 6 or 7 students came from Iraq or Iran or some, Morocco, somewhere in the Middle East.
Yeah,
they came to BC3
Kuwait,
to study metrology.
Correct.
I think it was Kuwait. I think you're right.
Yeah. It's a signature program. It is a program that we do have a number of donors, and we have a lot of alums who are really in highly placed positions. We just honored a distinguished alum several years ago. And metrology is, as the faculty tell me, everything has to be measured, Ruth. You know, you get on the scale first thing in the morning, you're being measured, that's metrology. You pump your gas, that's metrology, it's measured, and that's what the study of metrology is. So it involves a lot of math, some pre-engineering, but our students who are in that program come through and with a associate's degree come out and get some really good positions. So it is one of those fields of study where it's designed that not to transfer, but you come out and work. The lab was getting a little outdated, so we did have some donor money, and we probably put about maybe $50,000 or $60,000 into the upgrade of that lab. And one of the things we do at the college is our facilities people do a lot of the work in-house. So again, we can keep costs down by the latest in equipment, but the actual installation cost is kept low because people who work for the college can do that. Brian Opitz and his facility staff.
A couple of other updates that were made possible as a result of donations to the Education Foundation, updates to the nursing lab. The nursing program at BC3 is extremely competitive.
Extremely.
You better be a pretty sharp tack if you're going to get into that program at BC3.
You know, we had over 200 qualified applications this year, and we took 70 students.
Yeah.
And again, a program designed, you come out and you're work ready. Our graduates have excellent rates on the placement, the nursing exam that you take when you graduate, and excellent placement. They have jobs before they graduate. I attended their graduation ceremony this year, and it is just fabulous. They call it the pinning ceremony. We had to update, again, medical technology changes. Medical technology is very expensive. We use a lot of, they're really robots. They're called SimMan or SimLady, SimBaby. And they prepare students for what they're going to encounter when they get into the clinical, into their clinical occupation. Some of them are, you know, we have a little fun with them because they are little. They do everything. They exclaim when they're in pain. It's not like the old, you know, don't think about the resuscitation that you might have learned CPR on. This is high tech. So I want to thank Janice Larrick and her foundation. Made a real nice gift so that we could re-equip the lab, and I think we purchased maybe a resusci baby out of the money that was given. So well,
another lab that got updated, and I have no idea what it is, the Fab Lab. The Fab Lab.
So these people who are tinkering in their garage, and Bill, if you want to chime in any minute, these people tinker in their garage and they build things, but they need some equipment. Again, equipment is expensive. What do they need? They need the 3D printers. They need the laser cutters. Well, we have that available at the college, and we're working on making that open to the community. So we had to upgrade some of our stations, particularly the 3D printing. And we got a real nice gift from several groups have supported that. Alcoa Foundation, locally Butler Technologies here in Butler has supported that. We've received money from XTO. So, again, corporate people see the value not only of our students trained on that equipment because, of course, it's always open to students, but also possibly bringing in the next, you know, the next Steve Jobs or Bill Gates who are doing things in their garage and they need access to some of this technology. We don't have it ready to roll out to the public yet, but that is something we're developing. And our Dean of STEM, Matt Kovac, is working very closely with an advisory committee to what's the best way not only to make it open to the public, but also are we fully equipped at the best of our capacity to make this a real a viable and fun fab lab. The things they make are, you know, I mean, they're doing body parts. You go in that lab and you see like a joint, a finger joint, you know, and
you jogged my memory.
You've probably been there.
Well, I haven't been there, but I interviewed a couple of profs from BC3 and a couple of students I think were here too. And they brought some stuff that they'd made with those 3D. They make guitars and stuff.
Oh, right,
Guitar parts. And they brought some of the stuff in to show me. It's really fantastic.
It is amazing. You see them, you know, they do the CAD drawings on the computer, and they somehow do something else. I mean, my technology knowledge, I have to admit, is not too impressive, but they do something on the computer, and a little machine starts, and out comes that piece that they've designed. And as I say, everything from automotive parts, you know, we have that guitar class that teaches part of this, you know, advanced manufacturing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're talking about doing, you know, medical device applications. So, and again, these students are 18, 19 years old, but there also are a lot of people out in the community who are doing that, and we want to make it open. So that's what a Fab Lab is, kind of called a makerspace. Some other people might know it as a makerspace.
I have to check with my producer. Did we do the lottery numbers yet? We need to take a break and do that, or else they come after me with sticks. So we'll do that. I want to cover one more very important thing. If anyone has been awed by the projects, the work, the programs that have been funded through the Education Foundation, and you might be interested in donating, I want to talk with Ruth about that, particularly if you'd like to endow a scholarship or something. I'm sure she can have contact information for you, so stick around. We'll be back to talk about that in just a minute or so. Be right back.
Midday lottery numbers for today. The pick 2 is 12-1-2. The pick 3, 2-4-4-2-44. The pick 4, 9-6-3-4. The pick 5, 3-0-8-6-6. Wild ball for each of those is 8. The treasure hunt, 1, 11, 16, 18, and 29. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $50,000. By the way, the Mega Millions for tomorrow night, $382 million. And the estimated jackpot for Saturday's Powerball, $356 million.
Great thing back in the day. Welcome back, folks. Gosh, our time is just about gone. I do want to talk with Ruth Purcell for a moment or so. She's the executive director of the BC3 Education Foundation. What if people are interested in donating, particularly, I mean, people can fund scholarships in their name or the name of a loved one?
Absolutely. We are happy to work with people. Again, for an endowed scholarship, we do ask for a gift of $10,000, but some people will make a commitment to do that over several years. So they will give the money over, you know, several thousand dollars a year, and it builds up to $10,000. That's for the endowed scholarship, forever lasting. We also have people who, you know, just want to do an annual scholarship. We're very happy to accept gifts of that nature. If anybody wins the lottery and they have a tax, they might have a tax problem, we could help you with that by establishing a scholarship. We'll work closely with people to structure a scholarship that meets their intent. Again, within reason, because we want to make sure we can award this scholarship. So, you know, if you have a particular field of study, maybe a high school, although, again, we're asking our donors more and more, make it as broad as possible so we can make sure that money's awarded, because that's what you want, that's what we want. You can call the foundation, either myself or my colleague, Michelle Jameson, happy to work with people. We've received a number of scholarships from people who remember us in our will. You mentioned the Schaefers. I will say that, you know, even you don't have to be Bill Gates. My husband and I have a bequest to BC3 in our will. We hope it's not activated for a long time. But again, that's a way to remember things that are important to you. I didn't go to BC3. I, you know, say I'm a wannabe alum, but I just see how important and the contributions this college has made to the community, and it's a way to give back. So again, call the foundation office or call the BC3 general number. We